Good morning, guys. It's the Sunday after Jubilee. We made it. We did it. Just want to say before we jump into the message, a huge thank you to every person from Sherman who showed up, who served, from the parking lot to kids to greeting and hosting, worship team. Can we just show a huge sign of appreciation? It was so awesome to be in a different campus but see so many familiar faces. And it seemed like everywhere I turned, there was someone from Sherman serving and helping out. And those things don't just happen on their own. It takes people willing to step up and serve. So a huge thank you to all of you. You can turn in your Bible to Isaiah 54. We'll be getting there here in a little bit. But before we do so, I want to share just a few testimonies, a few wins from Jubilee. And I'm sure everyone has their own stories, their own testimonies. We would love to hear about how God moved in your life over this past week, the impact that was made. We'd love to hear those testimonies. So please find us, let us know, share those stories. But I just have a few that I want to share with you. One is there was a prayer night, Sunday night, kind of kicked it off, and we had mentioned it last Sunday. And in that prayer service, Pastor Antoinette was sitting beside an older gentleman in his, well, last week I got in trouble for attaching a number to the description of old. This gentleman was experienced in life in his 80s. Okay, so, and she was sitting beside him, and there was an invitation given for anyone who has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come and receive that. And this gentleman responded to that invitation, and she got to pray with him, and he was just beside himself, excited about this work of God in his life. And it was so encouraging to me to see somebody who, despite being that experienced at life, was still eager and ready to receive all that God had for him. You know, we often talk about there's no junior Holy Spirit. That's true. There's also no age limit on your effectiveness in the kingdom or what God desires for you. There's not this age where you get to and it's like, okay, at this point, you're done. You're just put out to pasture. That's not the case in the kingdom. And so it's so cool to see somebody in their 80s receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that was great. Another one, talked to a guy who said he had been battling suicidal ideation. And I don't know if you were there for this service or if you remember it, but Pastor Jacob, I think it was the Tuesday night of Jubilee, gave a word about that and prayed into it. And this gentleman said that word was for him. And since then, it's completely changed in him, that there's no longer those thoughts, that urge, and that, yeah, just his... He's been set free. So we're celebrating that. Another one that was pretty cool. So the Thursday night of Jubilee, Corey Russell, the second service, he did an invitation for anyone under the age of 25 to come down to the front. And it was just so awesome to see how many younger people were in the room. I had no idea that there were that many in the room. But I mean, the entire front filled up, so much so that they were down the aisles and up the stairways on the side. And that alone was really cool to see. But as he was ministering, there was a younger man in that crowd that shared with me his testimony of how during that time of prayer, he said the phrase that kept going off in my mind on just repeat was, "I don't feel seen." And he opened up and he said, well, you know, for me, a lot of times I hear people talk about how God speaks to them and how they sense God in their life. And for me, I just, you know, I'll talk to God, but I don't hear anything back. And, you know, whenever people, I'm in the same environment as other people and they say, man, can't you just feel the presence of God? He's like, I don't in that same way. And I don't know how many of you can relate to that, but for this young man, he said, you know, that's just what was going through my mind. I don't feel seen. And so once the prayer time had ended, there was an older gentleman standing beside him, and once service had been dismissed, the older gentleman goes and he shakes his hand. And now, mind you, like that phrase, "I don't feel seen," has just been in his head. And this older gentleman goes to shake his hand, and he shakes his hand, and he doesn't let go. And he just sits there shaking his hand for long enough for it to become awkward. Shaking his hand. And after about 10 seconds, which probably felt like an eternity, he said the older gentleman looked at him, and he just said, "You're seen." And this young man told me that changed my life. And he said, my friend was right there beside me. He can validate it. You know, it really happened. And just the encouragement for him to know that God sees him. And man, it's stories like that. And I know, yeah. I know that for every one of those we shared, there's dozens more. But it's moments like that where you step back and you go, if it was just for that one or that one, like everything is worth it for God to touch and minister to even just one person. And so it was a beautiful week. Our bodies are tired, but our hearts are full. So hopefully by now you've had enough time to get to Isaiah 54. So we're going to be reading verses 2 and 3, and this will be our text for today. It says, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch the tent curtains wide. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities." This is God's word to us today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that where two or more are gathered in your name, you are in our midst. And so God, we thank you for being here with us, and Jesus, by your Spirit, ministering to us, bringing hearts to life, speaking to us. Our eyes are open to see what you're doing, and our ears are open to hear what you're saying to your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So there was a word given at one of the services at Jubilee that's going to frame the message for today. And it also is where the title of the message comes from. And the title for today's message is "An Offering of Expectation." An offering of expectation. And so today's service structure is going to look a little different. I'm going to share just some reflections from Jubilee, some thoughts on how we can integrate Jubilee into our lives. And then once I share, Pastor Antoinette, there was this prophetic word that was given also resonated with others, as you'll see, because this word, though it was directed to me, I knew in the moment as it was being given that this wasn't a word just specifically for me, but it was a word for our church. And even as it was being given, I just had this sense that that was the case. And I, afterwards, in discerning it, weighing it out, judging the word, the people that I brought it to sensed the same thing. That though there may be parts of it that are, you know, for me, it's also for our church. That in many ways, this word was given to me as a representative of us, our church. And so one of those people that I ran the word by was Pastor Antoinette. And there were some things in her heart as well on the same subject that it sparked. And so I'll share, and then towards the end of service, Pastor Antoinette is just going to lead us in a response, share some of the things on her heart, and also just lead us in a response as the worship team comes up, and just a way to bring a conclusion to this week of Jubilee. And so that's kind of the roadmap for today. Does that sound good? Good, because that's the only option I have right now. So if it didn't, I'm sorry. So I want to begin with playing a clip from one of the services, and it was the word that was given. And this came from Colin Carr, who was one of the speakers. And again, I want to encourage you, as you hear it, know that this is not just, I don't believe anyway, in discerning, that this is just a word specifically for me. But this is a word for us as a church. So hold that in your mind and your heart as you hear this word.
So, Austin, when you were up here speaking, I saw a picture of you, and it's the scripture where the Lord says, lengthen the cords, like drive down the stakes. And I saw the tent where you have the ability to adjust the height, and the Lord wants you to raise the height of the tent, and he wants you to pull the stakes out further. And in doing so, it's going to go from where there's walls on the tent or the assembly of your church to where it's going to open up because more people need to come in and hear it. People that are on the outside need to come inside and see what you guys are doing. And I asked the Lord, I said, what does that look like? And he said, it's all based upon his expectation. So the Lord's asking you to increase your expectation. I know you have big expectation. I know both you guys do, but the Lord said, bring me an offering of expectation. Bring me a greater anticipation of my goodness, not based upon what you can do in the natural, not based upon deserving it, but simply based upon his heart for the people. It's how much he loves the people, not how much you love them, although I know you love them dearly. And so I just saw this picture of this amazing outdoor tent, like an outdoor tent meeting where the stakes or where the poles went up higher and the walls went from where they're touching the ground to where they went up right there so that more people could come in and hear the gospel. So I just bless what you guys are doing. I speak life and favor over the ministry that you guys are called to. And I believe that God's bringing people from the north, south, east, and west, and he's calling them into the kingdom. There's a clarion call. The Lord says, he says, bring the people into my feast. It's the parable of the feast. I want everyone in the kingdom of God. And so we just bless that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. How many of you received that? Yeah. The balcony, you guys can receive the word too. I mean, you know, okay. It's not exclusive for just people down here, but yeah, this word of God bringing increase, expansion, growth. And that's not just numerical and attendance in our church, but it's God bringing increase and growth in our walks with him and our lives with God. In our marriages, growth there, growth and more fruitfulness in our finances, in our work, in our parenting, in our homes. There's a blessing on this house for increase and growth. And God is the one who brings the increase. We're the ones who prepare the vessels. We're the ones who prepare it, and God is the one who fills it. That was one of the words that was given at Jubilee from Pastor Jacob, is that we prepare the vessels, God pours the oil. And so today we're going to be looking at, you know, how do we prepare? What does it look like to prepare for that outpouring? And then also, you know, what does an offering of expectation look like? Because that was in that word, was God is desiring to bring increase, expansion in our church. Again, that's not just the assembly, but that's God isn't just desiring to grow the church, he's desiring to grow you. Okay? So as you hear that, what does it look like to bring him an offering of expectation? So that's what we're going to be looking at today, and we're going to be basing that, we're going to be building it out of that prophecy that we see in Isaiah 54. And in Isaiah 54, just some historical context for what it meant to the original audience at the time. So whenever God gives this prophecy, Israel is still in exile. And so their cities are in ruins, their lives are in shambles, and it's as if everything is going the wrong direction. And in the middle of what seems to be just absolute desolation, God speaks this word of fruitfulness and increase. And prepare, like enlarge, stretch out your tent, lengthen the cords, drive down the stakes, because God is going to be filling your tent. And it's this picture of God bringing people in from all over the place, bringing them into his family. And this word comes in the midst of in the natural, nothing. Like there's no momentum going that way. And yet God speaks this word. See, expectation, and God speaks this word about growth and expansion and increase before anything in the natural looks like that's going to happen. Expectation is more than just believing that good things will happen. Expectation changes how you prepare. Because even when you can't see it, if you're expecting it, then you begin preparing for it. Expectation prepares in the natural for the supernatural. We prepare the vessel. God is the one who pours out the oil. And so how do we do that? A few things that we see in this passage. The first thing that we see Isaiah say is stretch the tent. Stretch the tent. Because when we stretch the tent, what happens is expectation makes room for God's presence. See, when we hear the word tent, we think of, you know, a recreational tent, circus tent, the tents like old school meetings were held in. Can I just get an amen? That we have a building with air conditioning in the summer. I mean, back then, if you were showing up to church in an outdoor tent in the summer, you were committed. Like they didn't have to give many sermons about being, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone to follow Jesus. Every gathering was that. Some of us, anyway, I won't go there. Or I will. For some of us, it's like, you know what? There's like a 20% chance it's going to rain today. We should probably just stay dry and stay home. Okay, anyway. Expanding. So when we think of tents, we picture all that. But for the original hearers, the tent wasn't this recreational thing. It wasn't just a place to hold an event. For them, the tent was the dwelling place. The tent was where they lived. Jubilee opened with Pastor Dwayne giving a message on the house of God. And this sequence of throughout Scripture, from the Old Testament, like in Jacob's ladder, to the tent, to the tabernacle, to Jesus, who is the perfect dwelling place of God's presence, to now the church, this thread of God's desire to dwell with his people in his house. And he painted this picture that God's house is and always has been intended to be this gateway or this door, this thin place between heaven and earth. And when we see that, we understand that God's desire is to dwell with his people, which means the Christian life is much less about us going to heaven than it is about us bringing heaven to earth. God desires for his house to be the place where heaven and earth overlap, where what's true in heaven becomes true on earth. The realities of heaven become the realities on earth. And so this picture of this tent, this picture of God's dwelling place, it's this place where heaven and earth overlap. And as Pastor Dwayne taught, it was God's house is intended to be a house of truth, 1 Timothy 3, where it's founded on the pillar and foundation of truth. And he gave one of the lines that has been, to me, one of the stickiest lines through Jubilee, a great takeaway, speaking of the importance of truth. He said, if you're uncomfortable with the truth, it's because you've become comfortable with a lie. If you're uncomfortable with the truth, it's because you've become comfortable with a lie. See, God's tent, his dwelling place, his habitation is a place that is to be built on his truth, not my opinion or your opinion or the world's opinion. It's built on his truth, his word, his ways. And so when we talk about stretching or enlarging the tent, we have to stretch or increase our understanding and belief of his truth. And that was what Colin really hit on in his evening, his message, was he was challenging us on, do you really believe God's word when it comes to his nature and his character, the promises that God has for us? And his message, he mentioned that it's important for us to align our thinking, our mindsets with God's word in multiple areas of our life. He focused primarily on finances, but he also talked about when it comes to your marriage, your work, your finances, your parenting, all of these other ways. Are we thinking too small? And that was really what he was challenging us in, is are we thinking too small on what God desires for you and what he wants for you? And so if we're going to stretch the tent, for me, one of the things that I'm practically integrating, moving out of Jubilee, is identifying areas of my life where I'm uncomfortable with the truth. And going, okay, something about that aspect of God's word is uncomfortable. So, Lord, help me renew my mind to the goodness of your word, the truth of your word. And just really practically making a list of those scriptures and just meditating on God's word in those particular areas, instead of letting my emotions or the circumstances of my life dictate my understanding of it. I'm going to renew my mind to, what does God's word have to say about healing? What does God's word have to say about kids? You know, you hear so much. And I do it sometimes too, but like the difficulty and the challenge of parenting, and these kids are a little fill in the blank. And yet God's word says that children are an inheritance of the Lord. In one translation, it says that children are God's greatest gift. And so in areas of my life where my opinions or feelings are not congruent with that, I'm going to renew my mind, and I encourage you to do the same. And when we do that, what's happening is we're stretching the tent. Because before God brings increase in our church, before he increases our influence, he has to increase our capacity for his presence. And that's what we do when we stretch the tent. We're increasing our capacity for his presence. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to lengthen the cords. Lengthen the cords. So if you've ever put up a tent, you know that the cords are the thing that determine just how big the footprint of the tent is, how far it can stretch. And the further the cords reach, the larger the tent becomes. And so whenever Colin shared that word, he gave this picture of, when you lengthen the cords of the tent, what happens is the curtains are going to go from walls to where they're going to be lifted up. And not only when they're lifted up, not only does it make the tent larger, but it also makes it to where other people on the outside can see. And when they see in, there's something about what's going on the inside that draws them in, that brings them in. And I love that picture, because the goal of having this stretched out tent, this larger tent, isn't so that we can have a more impressive facility. You know, it's not so that we can brag about how many square feet our fancy tent is. The reason why, the goal for expanding it, increasing it, is so that more people can come in. Josh Surratt, on his night, he talked about this interaction that Jesus had with somebody who was on the outside, the woman at the well in John chapter 4. She was on the outskirts looking in, outskirts of society, outskirts of community, outskirts of the family of God. And Jesus went out of his way to have this meeting with this woman. And one of the things that Josh said that stuck with me is, he said, God often goes out of his way to pursue the people that we often go out of our way to avoid. Ouch. It's true. At least it's true for me at times. And then he shared the story of the woman at the well, and how she went from an outsider looking in to the person that Jesus reveals himself as Messiah to. And Jesus, in this conversation, in this interaction, she experiences transformation. So much so that the whole reason why she came there in the first place, she leaves her jar at the well, and then she goes into the city that's full of the people that she had been trying to avoid. She goes into the city and she tells them, hey, you guys gotta come and hear this man who just told me everything that I've ever done. And what happens is, this woman who went from an outsider is now an evangelist for the gospel. Why? Because she's experienced the transforming touch of Jesus. And so as those curtains are lifted up, the thing that draws people in isn't an amazing worship set or some compelling speaker. The thing that's going to draw people in is people who have been radically and sincerely touched by Jesus. See, the reason why we have this increased mandate, the reason why God wants to to grow us and cause us to bear more fruit isn't just for our benefit. Sure, it will benefit you too, but it's not just for you. The fruit that he wants to bear in your life isn't just for you, but it's for others as well. This is the heart of God. God is always interested in people. He's the God who comes to seek and to save those who are lost. See, when you're making more room in the tent, you're not making more room for the people who are already there so that you can be more comfortable. Now, you're making more room for the people who are on the outside, who are lost, who are still walking in darkness, oppression, who desperately need freedom, salvation, restoration, a healing touch from Jesus. And so when we lengthen the cords, what we're doing is we're acknowledging the fact that it's not just about us. That church isn't, the purpose of church isn't here to just make us happy and comfortable. The purpose of church is for us to come together and to set the table, because we are servants of Christ. We're setting the table for God to come in, Jesus to come in and do what only he can do. We're preparing the vessel. God is the one pouring out the oil. So the next thing we're going to do is we're going to strengthen the stakes. Strengthen the stakes. You know, I've camped quite a bit, backpacked quite a bit, and I've never had somebody walk by our campsite and go, "Man, those are some really nice looking stakes you have. Like, that's really impressive, man. Like, where'd you get those stakes? How much did you pay for them? Were they on sale?" You know? No one posts Instagram pictures of their stakes. No one brags about them. They're not the talk of the town. You know, if you think about a steak, almost the entirety of the thing is hidden. Can barely even see it. But the stakes are the thing, even though no one talks about them, even though you can barely see them, the stakes are the thing that keep the tent from blowing away when the wind picks up. See, if we're going to increase the size of our tent, our capacity for God to bring increase in our life, in our marriages, in our walk with him, all of these different areas, if we're going to increase the capacity for God to bring the increase, we also have to drive our stakes down deeper. We have to ensure that we have the foundation that is strong enough to sustain the weight of God's blessing. Because when you don't prioritize the hidden things, the things that nobody talks about, brags about, or sees, when you're just great in public but not in private, what happens is when the increase comes, you won't have the character to sustain the blessing that God's going to bring in your life. We have to devote ourselves to the hidden work. One of the big things in that hidden work is prayer. You know, no one, you're not around for my time with the Lord. I'm not around for yours. You see me here, I see you there, we interact with each other. But the prayer, your life of God in prayer is the hidden work, the deep work, the thing that drives the stakes down deeply, that ensures that the foundation gets solid, that you're as excellent in private as you are in public. And so one of the practical things to implement is from Corey Russell's night, you know, he talked about, "Lord, teach us to pray," and really creating this hunger and this desire to have a life of prayer like Jesus modeled. That Jesus, despite being pulled on for so many different things and needs, Jesus was consistently found in the secret place, pulling away from the crowds, withdrawing, oftentimes early in the morning, just being with his Father. And it was that, like, when Jesus is doing that, what's happening is his stakes are being driven down deep. So that when all the adversity, when all of the pressure came, the thing that Jesus would fall back on is that well-worn path to his Father in prayer. And so an integration. Make the time, if you haven't already, make the time to show up. Develop that well-worn path in prayer. Do it with other people, not just yourself. But, you know, one of the things we talk about is finding ways to connect generations. One of the ways that we do that is in prayer. Young and old coming together and just, we have the prayer room. There's different opportunities. It doesn't have to be that. But book time early in the morning, invite people to come in and just pray. And don't see prayer as the stepping stone to get what you really want or whatever. Just show up and minister to the Lord in prayer. What's happening is it's that deep, hidden work. It's driving the stakes down into the ground. And so another great hidden work is discipleship. This is something that's been heavy on my heart is, as a church, we've been growing wide, but we can't just grow wider. We also have to grow deeper. And to grow deeper, the vast majority of people, to do that, they don't need another sermon. They need somebody to come alongside them and walk out discipleship. Jesus, he didn't say, hey, go into all the world and make converts. No, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. So part of that hidden work is not just what happens in this assembly, but I think what happens in the smaller settings, the smaller groups of walking out discipleship with one another. What's happening is we're preparing the vessel so that when God pours out the oil, we're ready. And this is really the point that Pastor Jacob drove home on the last night, is that he used the story of, from 2 Kings, the story of Elisha and the widow who was on her last leg, desperate, was running out of food, had very little left in the tank. And what Elisha did, he didn't just come in and give her tons of oil and set her up and she's fine. What he did is he said, go prepare vessels. Go get vessels. Borrow them if you have to. Just bring them in. What happened is when she did that, when she prepared the vessels, she started pouring the oil. God multiplied it. And the oil never ran out until all of the vessels she had were full. And so there's an element to which as we talk about God bringing the increase and growth and expansion in our lives and in our church, there's parts that only God can do. God will bring the increase. He will pour the oil. But there's parts that we need to do as well. We need to ensure that the vessels are ready. Pastor Jacob, he talked about these three ways that we can do that, that prayer is the preparation. Prayer is the preparation. Repentance precedes outpouring. The fruit must outlast the fire. And we're going to have months to unpack, you know, everything that God highlighted and spoke to us about at Jubilee. But when it comes to what does it look like to prepare the vessel, what does it look like to bring an offering of expectation, prayer, repentance, and character? Because again, what's happening in all of those is we're strengthening the stakes, driving them down deep to where we have the character to sustain, the foundation to sustain what God brings and does. And there are, just as we're getting close to landing and as the team comes up, there's a couple enemies to this preparation. And Isaiah hits on them in verse 2 and verse 4. He says, don't hold back and don't be afraid. Because when it comes to expectation, when it comes to growth, when it comes to increase, how often do we not experience it because we get afraid or because we hold back and we play it safe? We play it safe because we've been disappointed too many times, or we play it safe because we're afraid that if we go for it, if we really believe God for that thing and it doesn't pan out, then we're going to look like idiots. We're going to look foolish. And so because we don't want to look foolish for him, we play it safe. We hold it back. What happens is fear shrinks the tent. Holding it, playing it safe, playing just to protect, not playing to win, playing it safe shrinks the tent. Whereas expectation enlarges it. And so my question is, what's on the other side of your offering of expectation? What's on the other side? What could be possible if you believed again, prayed again? What could be possible if in the areas that you've been playing it safe or holding back or afraid, if you took God at his word, if you took the limits off and you said, God, whatever it is you have for me, like I want to dream with you, God. And if there's areas of my life where I've been limiting you with small thinking, call me out on those. Renew my mind to the truth of your word and stretch the tent, lengthen the cords. What's on the other side of that? What could be possible in your life? What could be possible in our church or in our city? Just in closing, this is an example of what's possible. There was in 1792, a leather worker by the name of William Carey in Nottingham, England. He delivered a sermon that would have ripple effects through history. His key text for his sermon was Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Don't hold back, lengthen your cords, stretch out your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in desolate cities. That was the text he preached, and that was the text that launched that evening, that launched the modern missions movement. This slogan that he gave that night to the assembly, he challenged them with this phrase. He said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Amen. Expect great things from God. Don't hold back. Enlarge your tent and attempt great things for God. Our attempt isn't works or performance-based righteousness. No, our attempts is mixing action with our faith. The attempting great things for God is not being just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. That's what it means to attempt great things for God. And that phrase became the slogan for the modern missions movement that would bring millions of people to faith in Jesus. So that's what was on the other side of their offering of expectation. So what's possible for you? What's on the other side of your offering of expectation? So I just want to take a minute before the team comes. Just bow your head. Here in a minute, they'll come up and share and we'll end in worship. But just for a minute, 60 seconds, bring that question before the Lord. God, what's on the other side of my offering of expectation? Where am I thinking? Where am I limiting you with small thinking that you're wanting to stretch the tent and enlarge my capacity for your presence?